Well, we're going to get back into the book of Acts. We hadn't been there in a little while with December and Christmas and different things, so we're going to go back to the book of Acts tonight. We're in chapter 19. Some of this tonight might almost seem a little bit repetitive as far as themes go, but that's what church does. We keep doing what God told us to do, and that's what Paul was doing. Amen? I think we'll see some new things tonight, but I'm just saying sometimes when I'm going over it, I'm like, did I make the same notes I made 4 weeks ago, you know, and some of those things. But anyway, we'll take a look tonight. One emphasis I want to give tonight is this. I want to preach on the thought, the need for spiritual growth, the need for spiritual growth. I basically did some of that Wednesday night in the message there, but we'll look at it from this passage tonight, and it's a very interesting passage, as many of them are. Here in the book of Acts, remember, transitional period, all right, transitional time. Some of the things they were doing right there, we don't do today. It's the New Testament church, but it was the early New Testament church, so some things were transitioning. So let's look here at chapter 19 of the book of Acts, and we'll read the first 10 verses tonight, and then we'll go back and bring the message, okay? The Bible says, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went on into the synagogue, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So, some interesting things here in this passage, but I want to preach about the need for spiritual growth, and I think that will come out in the message as we go along with this story. This is now the third missionary journey. Paul took 3 of those, and this is the third missions trip that Paul had taken, and here, you know, we have the book of Ephesians, a very helpful book in the Bible. He spent a lot of time in Ephesus, as we see right here, three months there in the synagogue. But then he ended up staying for 2 years teaching and preaching there in Ephesus. Now, in chapter 18, we were introduced to a young man named Apollos. And Apollos, you remember, Aquila and Priscilla helped him grow in the faith. He had some catching up to do. There were some things he didn't understand. Now, he was a very eloquent preacher. He was a good preacher. But Aquila and Priscilla, being more mature in the faith of the Lord, helped bring him up to speed. Well, in this chapter, we've got some more of those, just like Apollos, who needed to learn about the presence and the teaching and the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. They had missed that. So we've got the same thing here. So maybe these were some of Apollos was a disciple of John. Now these 12 are also disciples of John, like Apollos was. So they need to grow up in the Lord just like Apollos did as well. So chapter 19 opens with Apollos being at Corinth and Paul coming to Ephesus. Now, the thing about Aquila and Priscilla helping Apollos, he grew in the Lord, and he grew fast, and you know, Paul was probably excited. Man, look, this is awesome. I got something going on in Corinth through Apollos, who's doing a great job. He's grown in the Lord. He's learned some things. He caught up to speed, and boy, he's excited about that young man doing the work of God there. So that freed him up to say, hey, I'll go on over to Ephesus. Isn't it good when you have more and more and more and more people getting involved in the work of God? Amen? And Paul was always excited about young men getting into the ministry. So he loved this idea of Apollos doing that. So he's a companion of his, but he's got him in a different spot right now. So again, these 12 men that we read about here were ignorant of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said they were disciples. They're believers. They were baptized by John, but they didn't know certain things. You know, I think today there's a lot of Christian people that are ignorant about that very subject, the Holy Spirit, or have been taught wrong about that very subject, the Holy Spirit. And maybe not only are they ignorant about that subject, they're ignorant about a whole lot of other subjects because they hadn't been discipled, they hadn't gotten to their Bibles, they hadn't gotten to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church somewhere. And there's a lot of spiritual growth that needs to take place. You know, I think I said some of this the other night. Some people tell me they're saved, but they've never grown in the Lord. They've never, you know, followed through. And, only God knows. I don't know. I wonder where the growth is. I would trust tonight, you're here on Sunday night, that you have a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you do. And you want to grow, and you desire to grow, and you are growing. And I hope you did some growing last year, and you plan to do some more growing this year in the Lord, right? But a lot of folks are just content to say, yeah, I prayed a prayer one time, and they don't go no further than that. Now, these people, like Apollos, they were serving the Lord, and they were busy for God. They were active, but something was lacking there. There were some of the ways of the Lord or doctrines of the Lord that they just needed to learn about. So, again, the need for spiritual growth. So I'll just break this down three ways tonight. Number one, we're going to say this. There was, number one, some observation. There was some observation. And what I mean by that is that the Apostle Paul observed these young, zealous disciples, and he decided, he picked up on, he observed, something's missing. Something's not right. But guess what? It was actually someone that was missing, the Holy Spirit of God. He thought, you know, these are zealous young men, and they're excited about God. And so Paul talked to them, and he asked them a question. He says in verse 1, he came to Ephesus finding certain disciples. In verse 2, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? Now, this is interesting. When did you get the Holy Ghost? I'm going to go ahead and answer that. You got the Holy Ghost when you believed. Now, when Paul said, did you get the Holy Ghost since you believed, that is essentially saying when you believed. Now again, remember this is transitional. So there was things happening then that do not happen here today. But Paul quickly picked up on something was not there. You know, again, we don't like to judge. People say you're not supposed to judge, but you know, you're going to judge. You do judge. You will judge. You make observations about things. And sometimes you see Christians or professing Christians, or you see churches or ministries or TV preachers, and you think to yourself, something's not right. Something is lacking. Something is missing. Anybody ever done that before? You ever looked at a person and just, right, forget spirituality, you ever looked at a person and said, something's missing right there. Something hadn't gone all the way to the top, we say. Y'all with me? You understand that one now, right? But you observe situations and you say, hey, something's just not right here. And I mean, that could be in a thousand different ways that you apply that, but here it's spiritually. But we sometimes see churches, ministries, Christians, preachers, whatever it is, and we wonder what's different or what's lacking or what's missing. There was an observation there. A judgment, if you will, or an observation there. A lot of people are religious, but not truly born again saved. A lot are like that. There's a lot of religious people out there who don't know much about the Bible or the Holy Spirit at all. Now, in this case right here, some people think that they were sincere believers. They're called disciples. And they were disciples. They were disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist came on the scene announcing the coming of the Lord. And that's what Paul said right there. He said, hey, they said, we're disciples of John. We were baptized by John. He said, well, you know, John told about the Messiah that was to come. That is Jesus Christ. It seems that they're still waiting on that one to come. They missed Pentecost. Might have missed a whole lot more than that, because they're still waiting on the Messiah to come. That really is amazing to me that that could be the case, that they're still operating under John's ministry and haven't picked up on the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry and were ignorant of that and needed to grow in that area. That's really amazing to me that that was the case. But again, you got to remember the transitional nature of the book of Acts. The laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, we don't do that today. That was an apostolic thing with Paul. We don't do that today. You receive the Holy Spirit today by faith the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he tells them there, he asked them about that, and they talk about John's baptism there, that they were following John's baptism. Now, let me say this. The Bible says right here, they believed. He told them, you got to believe on Jesus now. So they believe on Jesus, he lays on of hands, and then they receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they've been baptized a long time ago with John. So here, they're told about Jesus, they believe on Jesus, and he lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what you got to be careful about right here? The second blessing idea comes from this, that some people teach. Hey, you know what? You got saved. I'm glad you got saved. Glad you believed on the Lord. But you know it's right there in the book of Acts. You got to get the Spirit now. You got saved, but now you got to get the Spirit. Again, that only happened in that transitional period right there, okay? That's not the way we do it or operate, or the Lord does it today. So it's not a second blessing that comes later on. It did with them, but there was a reason for that. And that transitional time was there that they did miss Pentecost, because Paul later taught if a person that professes Christ doesn't have the Spirit, they're not saved. He said in Romans 8, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So later on, Paul said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, at this point, you're not saved. If he's not indwelling you, you hadn't received on Christ. Now, let me say this too. Did he tell them to believe on and receive the Holy Spirit? No. He told them to believe on and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we preach Christ, and we don't preach Mary. We don't preach the Holy Spirit. We don't preach anything else. Acts 4:12 dealt with this. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We don't tell people, hey, you need to believe on the Holy Spirit. You need to put faith in the Holy Spirit. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. We say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? And we know in this economy, in this dispensation, when that happens, the Holy Spirit moves in the moment a person gets saved right away. So again, he said, since you believe, that's when you believe. Who'd you believe on? Well, he told them who they needed to believe on, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's observing something there that was missing, that was lacking, but just like Apollos, he brought them up to speed. Again, maybe in that economy and in that dispensation, they were believers, they were disciples, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit, so we would call them saved at that point. We would, as far as they knew, they had believed on the Lord, but again, they had missed Pentecost, they had missed the coming of the Holy Spirit and all of that. But today, we need to have that observation. We need to have that discernment to pick up on when something's missing. Dr. David Wood preached a revival for us several years ago. He's in heaven, by the way, now. But I remember in his soul winning that he taught, he would always talk about ask a person their church background and listen carefully to what they say, and then you can make a judgment on that as to whether or not they're really saved. If a person's really saved and been growing in the Lord, they can tell you they're saved, right? And you ask them how they got saved, they should be able to tell you. But a lot of times the people tell you, yeah, I think I'm good, I'm going to heaven, really, based on what? And they'll give you off-the-wall ideas, and you just make a mental note, you observe right away, they need to receive Christ. I don't think they've done that. So he said, in that case, just go ahead and give them the gospel. as if they just said, no, I'm going to hell. Because it's going to take the gospel to show them that they need the Savior. Because the devil might have already tricked them into thinking they're okay when they don't have the Savior. And if you have the Savior today, you have the Holy Spirit, right? So you try to observe these things. We observe a lot of things. You observe in this world today that it's a wicked world. You observe in this world today that we're in the latter times. You observe in this world today that the spirit of Antichrist is already here, right? Amen. Yeah. You can see these things because you're making observations all the time with the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who indwells every born-again Christian. Amen. So they needed to grow in the Lord. That's really probably what needed to happen here. They needed to be told about. They needed to learn about the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people today, they need to just get in the Bible-believing church and get into the Bible at home and learn and let the Holy Spirit teach them and do what? Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, right? So that's why we come to church. I said a lot of things might be repetitive, and it is in our preaching and out of the Bible, because we're not preaching anything new. But it's not only growing in the Lord in the sense of gaining knowledge, it's also growing in the Lord in the sense of getting strengthened. You might hear a message on the cross. You might hear a message on Jesus. You might hear a message on a miracle or a parable. You might hear a message on the Holy Spirit or some other doctrine. And you say, well, I already know that. I already have that knowledge. But the fact that you heard it again, you grew in strength in the Lord. You might say, well, I'm reading through the book of Genesis. I know what's in there. I've already read it before. Keep reading. You'll find some things that you hadn't noticed before, but even if you read things and you say, well, I know all of it, you're growing spiritually. It's feeding your faith and your soul. Amen, right? I've already heard that sermon. We need to hear it again. Why? Because I need strength to help me this week. I need to be reminded to be an observant person. You know, people talk about today when you go out in public, how you ought to observe your surroundings. You ought to be very vigilant and alert about what's going on. Pretty wicked world out there today, a violent world, unprovoked attacks going on. So you go out and you try to be observant and you try to be conscious of your surroundings. Y'all with me on that? But spiritually, you're watching for, man, the devil's at work out here too, right? And you see where he's working. You see where God is. You see where God's working. You see where God opens doors, closes doors, and you're following the Lord. Why? You're being observant. So Paul observed something in these people that they needed, and then he told them what it was. They needed Jesus, and when they got Jesus, they got what they were lacking, which was the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we say, come into my heart. We say that. He does in the person of the Spirit. He's omnipresent. He's with all of us. Amen. And thank God he does. So there's an observation. But number two, there was also a transformation that took place here. Now, when a person gets saved today, and the Holy Spirit comes into their heart and life, there ought to be a real, lively, genuine transformation that takes place in their life. You believe that? There ought to be a change, because you're saved out of sin, you're saved out of a life of sin, and you're not to live in sin any longer. Therefore, there ought to be a change in your life. And the Holy Spirit comes in and brings the change that we could never do. People try to change their life. People try to do New Year's resolutions, and by this point in the year, most of those are in the trash can now anyway, because it's just so frustrating, and you're trying to do it on your own, trying to do it by yourself. You're goal-oriented. Okay, that's good. That's great. You might be super disciplined and all of that. Fine. But we need the Holy Spirit of God and the work that He does in us to bring about a transformation that we cannot bring about by reformation. So these people had an instant transformation. Now, in verse 5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not John's baptism. Not in the sense of repentance and reformation and the coming of the Lord. No, they're now baptized in the name of the Lord. And that's both physically, they were baptized right there in the water by immersion in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ symbolically, but also baptized by the Spirit spiritually. They were baptized into Jesus right there. You could say they were rebaptized because John had already baptized them. Now they're getting rebaptized by the Holy Spirit, spiritually, but in the name of Jesus. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, right? That's the way we do it today. I've had a lot of people ask me about rebaptizing. I've had people come to me over the years and they'll say, I was baptized a long time ago. I was baptized as a child. I was baptized, but I feel like, you know, I've grown in the Lord. I didn't understand what I was doing, and I feel like I just want to make sure I got it in the right order. I've baptized adults who came to me with stuff like that, and I would question them, are you saved? Or do you know you're saved? Because that's really what it's all about. And if you were saved and baptized, you don't need to be baptized again. But I've had people say, well, I wasn't sure what was going on back then. I just want to be sure. And I obliged them. Nothing wrong with that. I that's okay. These folks were rebaptized. A little bit of a different situation. But I've done that for folks just to give them a peace of mind that they got it in the right order. They did it right because they believed maybe they had got baptized before they actually even got saved. Because they didn't understand and got it later on in their life. And that's okay that people do that. But these people here had an instant, immediate transformation in their life. There was evidence that the Holy Spirit was there. Now, let me say this. Have I used the word transition? It was a transitional period. The evidence that you and I have today is not the same as theirs, but it has the same source. What did they do? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, I dare say the day you got saved, you didn't speak in tongues, you didn't prophesy. But I dare say the Holy Spirit brought other evidences in your life, a changed life. And let me say this. If you've ever been in a situation where you're pressured, oh, you got to get the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit. You got to get the Spirit. Oh, you hadn't spoken in tongues. Look, you hadn't got, when you speak in tongues, then we'll know you got it. Let me tell you this. Don't be worrying about this idea that you've never spoken in tongues. Because throughout church history, some of the mightiest, most used of God Christians and preachers never spoke in tongues, including the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put an emphasis where the Bible does not put an emphasis. A lot of people take a passage like this and make a whole denomination off of it and a whole doctrine off of it that was never intended to be. So, you know, well, I feel like I'm lacking something. They told me I hadn't spoken tongues yet. You know, I got to go learn another language. It amazes me, by the way, how those folks have to go to language school to go to Africa or wherever. But that just baffles my mind. You're going to be a missionary, but you got the gift of tongues, but you got to go to language school to learn a language. Don't you know the word tongue is nothing but a language? Yeah, they might have spoken other languages. They might have been receiving some new revelation from God, and they prophesied. But again, it was a transitional period. I don't think it's happening like that today. We've got the completed Word of God. We don't need those things today, by the way. Transitional, okay? We've got the completed Word of God. We're not adding to it. If somebody stands up right now and starts speaking in tongues, and none of us, like Paul said, none of us know what they said, we're not benefited by it. And then Brother Ron says, I'll stand up and interpret that. And I'll say, Brother Ron, wait a minute now. And Brother Ron will tell me what that guy says. And I'm saying, you're a great guy, but I don't know if I trust this. You know, I'm going to be observing and very suspicious, right? I just don't think it happens like that today. Well, tell me this. Why did God just give you that new revelation when John said, don't get any more new revelation? We closed the book. Y'all with me on that? Y'all okay with this? We're Baptist. Amen. But no, honestly, you know, Paul said, that's why I'd rather speak five words that you understand than a bunch of stuff you don't get, that you don't know what I'm saying. I don't know another language, and I don't think the Lord's going to all of a sudden give me another language up here just to impress y'all. And then you and me both say, I don't know what he just said. Right? I'd like to be able to say something somebody understands and get something out of. So anyway, there was a reason for it in that setting and in that day. But it was just evidence that the Spirit had come upon them. Today, your evidence is you no longer want to go to the bar. You want to go to the church. You no longer want to read some filthy nonsense. You want to read the Bible. There is evidence that it's a changed life, that the Holy Spirit came in and He took over. He took over your mind, and He took over your speech, and He took over your behavior and your actions. Amen, right? But nothing foolish. Acts 1:8 says what He's going to do is He's going to make you a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8 says that's what will happen whenever a person gets truly filled with the Spirit.
They want to tell other people the gospel, the plain gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says whenever you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that He's going to guide you into all truth. I believe He's going to help you let your light so shine, such as Matthew talked about in chapter 5 and verse 16. He's going to help you, your light shine. He's going to help you be a new creature in Christ. He's going to help you be something different, filled with, not filled with mind, but filled with the Spirit. Both of those things control your thought, speech, and behavior, but it's rather to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, right? To do righteousness and speak the right things. He will comfort you in your trials too, amen? That'll be something you didn't have before. You'll say, I don't know where this peace came from. We sang about it tonight, I do believe. I don't know where this peace came from. It came from the Holy Spirit of God, the comforter that is now in you, amen, right? There's evidence of your desire to grow. There's evidence that you are growing. There's evidence that you've had a changed life. They had evidence, but it's different than ours. Same source, just different type in that setting of the early New Testament church. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit came in, and the Holy Spirit brings about a change and a transformation. Paul had an observation. Something's missing. Then these people had a transformation. Why? He pointed out what was missing, and the Holy Spirit came in, and a transformation was made. Same thing that's going on in your life today. As God has begun a new work in you, and He's going to finish the work, and He's doing the work every day, and you are doing what? You are growing in the Lord as a child of God. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to have that desire, we want to keep that desire, and we want the Holy Spirit to continue to do His work. There was an observation, there was some transformation in their life that was instant evidence of the Lord coming into their life. But then number three, there was continued proclamation. Now, in verses 8 through 10, the Bible says Paul just kept preaching the word. He didn't spend a lot of time on that situation. He spent a few minutes on that situation, and he told these people what they needed. They got it. What did he do? He went into the synagogue, and he found a ready-made congregation, which he did in a lot of the cities he went to, because there was a synagogue. It was a worship place. There were people gathering there. Guests like him could speak. So what did he do? For 3 months, it says, in verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, doing what? Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So he goes into the synagogue, and he goes back for 3 months, and they keep giving him opportunities. What is he doing? He's giving the gospel. He's teaching the gospel. He's helping people find the Christian life. He's helping people find their life in the Lord and their life in the Spirit, right? He's teaching them the proper manner of that. He's telling them how to get saved. So he's just proclaiming the truth of God there in the synagogue. But then verse 9 says, but when divers, that means some were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, all right? So it took 3 months until some of these scribes and priests said, I've had enough of this. I've heard enough of this. You ever been in a church and somebody's preaching the Bible and preaching against sin, and somebody finally says, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go to church somewhere. I always heard preach the Bible, preach it right. People either get right or get out. And they decided we're getting out. They want to run him out. They were hardened in their heart against the preaching of the truth. They're scribes, they're priests, they're in the Old Testament way, they're Judaizers. They do not want to hear about the new way. That's what it says. They spake evil of that way. What way? The New Testament way of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they told the multitude, hey, this man's telling you about a New Testament. This man's telling you the Messiah has come. No, he hasn't. We're still waiting on the Messiah. We're still doing sacrifices. They're telling you, he's telling you about a final sacrifice. They hardened their heart. They were adamant unbelievers against that. They rejected that way. That way is talking about Paul's way, the gospel way, the gospel message. And they began to speak evil of it. They slandered and they resisted and they had all they could take of the preaching of Paul. And they had to get out of there. You know, it says divers. You know, just a few folks can stir something up and cause a problem, right? And that's what happened. But, as we always see with Paul, he didn't stop. It tells us then, what did he do? In the latter part of verse 9, it says he departed from them and separated, notice this, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now, so what he does is he finds another place to go preach. But he takes with him those that got saved in the synagogue. He departed bringing the disciples with him. Not the hard-hearted crowd, not the resistant crowd. No, he brings the disciples with him, those that got saved. Now, many believe he did this. Many believe that this is probably the school of a rabbi, a local school of a rabbi. He rented the classroom, so to speak. He might have still been doing his tent work during the day. He rented the school in off hours, and then he would bring those people that got saved in there. You know what he's doing? He's planting and establishing for 2 years that great church in the city of Ephesus is what he's doing. He's taken the people that did believe. He's taken the people that didn't resist. He's taken the people that didn't reject. He's taken the people that did resist, and he's getting them in a classroom like this right here, and he's teaching them the ways of God. He's proclaiming the truth is what he's doing. There's observation, there's transformation, there's proclamation going on here. The preaching of the truth of the Word of God. And he continued that he spent a lot of time in Ephesus. Ephesus was a hub. Ephesus was a heathen city. Ephesus needed a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing New Testament church. So Paul's getting it going here, isn't he? Now, look, I think this. Don't you think every town needs a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? But there may be some places that need it even more. This was a place that needed it more. This was a place that was a hub. In other words, he could get people saved here, and they would go out to other places with the gospel. 2 years, you know, this is his last missionary journey. He spent a lot of time here. Now, a lot of times he goes back, and what would he do? He would confirm the disciples. He would go back and visit the churches, and he would spend some time strengthening them. Here, he's really getting this one settled. And by the way, in the book of Ephesians, a very, very deep, deep spiritual book in your Bible, he dealt with these people on a thorough basis, didn't he? And he helped them. But it's saying here that he was preaching, and as one door got closed, the Lord opened another door. You know, the devil closes one, God opened another, right? Amen. Don't you believe that? So he's renting this facility, perhaps, and he's preaching, and he's getting a church established, a very important church established there in this place. So what is he doing? He is committed to the proclamation of the truth, which is what? Spreading the gospel for souls to get saved and preaching the truth for disciples to grow. Now, tonight, you might say, Preacher, I think everybody's saved in here. I mean, I'd like to think so. I hope so. I think everybody in here probably claims to be saved, has professed to be saved, probably has joined the church. So what are we doing tonight? We may not be pushing. Hey, y'all need to get saved. Y'all need to get saved. But we are just looking at the Bible and growing in the Scriptures, right? So we're going to preach the gospel, and we're going to go out during the week and preach the gospel. By the way, you do it, I do it. We pass out gospel tracts, and we leave gospel tracts, and we witness to people, and we get in here, and we preach the gospel. But then there's going to be times when we just preach the word. Why? The church needs to grow. The church needs to be fed. The church needs another meal from the Scripture, so to speak. And we can go through a book of the Bible like that. And what better way is it to get what we need from the Lord than just to go through His Word, preach the Word is what He told us to do, right? So Paul was doing all of that. He was holding a discipleship class, if you will, and he was just preaching the Word of God, preaching the Bible. He was writing Scripture, by the way, and revealing new truths, which, again, we don't do that today because we've got all of it right here. We have a completed New Testament. So if they receive some new revelation, if they receive some new things, I mean, again, that was transitional. John closed it out and said, don't take away, don't add to. We're not getting new things from God. That's why we don't do it the same way, right? We know what the Word of God is. But my emphasis here is
People needed to grow. There was spiritual growth that needed to happen. Those 12, like Apollos, they hadn't learned about the Holy Spirit. They hadn't learned everything what they needed to know about Jesus. So he brought them up to speed. Those new disciples that got saved in the synagogue, he took them to that other classroom. And for 2 years, what did he do? He preached. He taught. He brought them up to speed spiritually. Why? Because there's a need for spiritual growth in all of us. Andrew Murray, I like reading his books. He's got a little book on the spiritual life. He said this. He said, so many Christians find in God's word promises of perfect peace, a faith that overcomes the world, a joy that is unspeakable, a life of ever-abiding communion with Christ, hidden in the hollow of God's hand, but alas, they don't know how to obtain it. Somebody might say, you know, the Bible says this, but I declare, you know, I'm just not finding it in my life. I see it in somebody else. I see it in a Bible character. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. The only thing that's lacking there is more growth. Now, I'm glad they got a desire for it, but don't let it become a frustration. Because somebody's saying, hey, you ought to be doing this, and you ought to be speaking in tongues, and you ought to be up here, and you ought to be there. No, everybody grows at different rates. So sometimes we do say, well, you know, I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm just not getting it. No, you're getting it. You're just not where you want to be yet. Growth is a gradual thing, right? So the baby crawls before they walk, right? And when they start walking, they do that with help, too, before they venture out on their own. And soon we hope they do some running and some marathons and everything else. Amen? But it takes time in all of us. There's nobody here that can say, I know it all, I've read it all, I don't need to grow anymore. No, you might think you got all the knowledge, but that doesn't mean you have all the growth. We're always growing in the Lord. We're always needing to get stronger because you know what? You might say, well, I know all of this facts, but do you know how to apply those facts? You might face a trial this year that will take you deeper into the Word of God and into the understanding of the Word of God than you ever could have gone before if you didn't face the trial. You've already done it before, right? You know what I'm talking about. Your prayer life might go deeper because you find yourself going through the valley of the shadow of death in a way you never have before. There's a need for more growth. You say, I don't know why I'm going through this problem, this trial, this trouble. I don't think it's chastening. I don't know why this is happening. The devil's doing this or God's doing this. No, God's allowing it or doing it. You know why? There's a need for more growth. None of us, and Paul said it himself, the great apostle Paul, none of us have arrived spiritually, right? So you might say, well, I declare, oh, so-and-so, I watch their life, and they go through this, and they go through that, and they handle it beautifully. I don't think I ever could. When you get there, you'll find yourself doing some growing that they've already done. Amen, right? And you'll find there's more growth, even if you thought you couldn't grow anymore. God will show you, yeah, we can do some more. And we can take you deeper, and we can take you higher, whatever the situation is. We're learning more about the Lord all the time. Sometimes in the darkness, we see more light of the Lord. And I don't mean the darkness of sin and wickedness in the world. I mean the darkness of trials and troubles that we face. But we see more light. You might go through the Psalms and just read through them. But then you might go through a trouble and a trial and then go back through the Psalms and get more out of it than you ever got before. Does that make sense? Because now you're relating to the heart of David as he was writing, as he was in the cave, and as he was in the valley, and he was in the trouble, and he was in the depths of his heart crying out to God for help. And when you read it before, it didn't do much for you because you weren't there. Next time you read it, you might be there. Stay in the Word, and you'll do some more growing. Amen? Right? I had a person tell me a while back, they were talking about their church and their pastor, and I know their church and I know their pastor. And they said, well, did you know our church was going through this issue and this issue and this problem? I said, actually, no, I had not heard that. And this was the comment the guy made. He said, yeah. He said, but I will tell you,
He said, brother, and he called the preacher's name. He said that since the church has been going through all this trouble, he said, I tell you what, his messages have just gone so deeper into the Word. His spiritual life and prayers just gone so deeper into the Word. You know what that meant? He went through a trial, and it brought more growth. And he'll take his church through it too. Amen, right? But we all go through these things individually. There is a need for growth. We might need to know or understand or get caught up to speed with some basic things. That's what I preached on the other night, was basics on the Christian life. Like the Holy Spirit. We just need to learn some basics about what the Holy Spirit does and why He's there and how He helps. But then you might experience something that helps you grow in it even more than just mental knowledge. You actually grow in the spiritual truth of it. I'm trying to get that across. Amen. And we grow and we grow and we grow and we grow deeper. But we got to stay in the Word. I hope we desire it, but we got to realize the Holy Spirit, the church, the serving, the preaching services, the church services, the praying, the pressing on. There's a need for more and more spiritual growth in all of us so that we can be a help to somebody else. We can do more loving, serving, giving as we grow ourselves and as a church too. Amen? Right? So Paul, I think, was helping these people do exactly that. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to stop right there tonight. I don't wish valleys and trials and troubles on us, but like Job, sometimes God brings them because we need to have more growth that's not just knowledge, but growth in applying the truth that we've already learned. And I think a lot of that was happening there with Paul and those disciples in Ephesus, and it's going to happen in our life as well. Dear Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the knowledge is the doctrines, but Lord, the grace is applying those truths when we get into situations in our life that we never thought we might face before. And God, I pray you'd help us to learn all of these things here tonight and in our life as we go through this year, as we follow you. And Lord, help us to maintain a desire to know you more and to grow closer to you, Lord, even this year. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand, and a little music plays, and our heads are bowed. And you might want to come tonight and just ask God to help you somehow with some of these things tonight. Amen. Amen. You can